message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
Take your Bible, turn to the book of Mark, chapter 1, again, Mark, chapter 1, verse 35 through verse 45. And as you're turning there, I want us to think about what we're going to discuss this morning in this great text. I pose a question from this passage of Scripture. Is Jesus a preacher or is Jesus a healer? Now, you may be puzzled by that question because you would say, well, he is both. My question really is, what is his primary purpose of what Jesus came to do? Did Jesus come just to preach? Did Jesus come just to heal? Or did he do one or the other? Did he do both? And I think it's a question that we need to ask ourselves when we think about why did Jesus do certain things? Why did Jesus not do certain things? Because Jesus obviously could do both of those things that we're talking about. But I want us to really think through this question this morning. And I want us to be encouraged from this text this morning because we're going to see where Jesus himself gets challenged in regards to the purpose of his mission. Let me put it to you in this particular way. How many of you as believers struggle sometimes to stay focused of what God has called you to do as a Christian? You ever get sidetracked? You ever get busy? I think we live in a world of busyness. I know ourselves as a family, sometimes we find ourselves just going and going as busyness and busy people. But you know, I think sometimes as Christians, I think we need to ask ourselves the question is, what is it that keeps us from being focused on the mission at hand? And oftentimes we can come to a Sunday service and we can get energized, we can be encouraged, and we can leave and say, man, I'm going to do this. And we walk out that door and Satan is right there to meet us, is he not? He does not want you to be focused on the mission. And I want us to see from Jesus himself, the Son of God, who is God, also had this challenge as well, that he also had to pull away from his busyness to make certain that he stayed focused upon why he was here. He was fully God, but he was also fully man, which means that he faced the same temptations and the same struggles that you and I are. And then even when we get focused, have you ever had people in your lives that seem to be a distraction to you, or maybe you get bothered by them that they're in your way? Let me rephrase that they're, quote, in your way, end quote. That we say, now, if they would just not be in my way, then I could do more for Jesus. And I wonder if those people are actually in your way because God has put them in your way. You know, sometimes I think we have folks in our lives that we probably would rather not have them in our lives. Let's just be all honest this morning. Can we be honest and transparent this morning? But I don't want to list. I don't want you to verbalize those people. Well, we might need to pray for you, just bring you down and lay hands on you this morning. But I think if we're honest, you know, that we sometimes can get focused and then it just seems like there's a hurdle or there seems to be a struggle or not. Lord, I'm trying. And I think sometimes we might actually be missing the opportunity that's right in front of us. Because what we're thinking is what we're supposed to be doing might be different than what God wants us to do. So I think as we look at this passage this morning, and I want to encourage you because even Jesus, as we see the passage this morning, he's very clear in this passage why he's here. But even on his mission, he gets intersected many times with interruptions. Many times. And I want us to see from this passage of Scripture, how does Jesus deal with this? How does he stay focused on the mission? And how does he deal with interruptions? And that's why I'm asking this question. Is Jesus a preacher? Is he a healer? Because he's making it very clear that he's here to preach, but he gets interrupted many times as he's going to do something with someone who has a need. People come to you with needs. Well, I think this passage of Scripture will help you this morning, encourage you as we study what Jesus did our Lord. Let's look at the text this morning. Verse 35 through verse 45 is our text for this morning. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Two great passages that we're studying this morning. In this first passage, we're going to see clearly Jesus' mission, and he's saying what he's supposed to do, and then automatically, as soon as he says what he's supposed to do, guess what happens? Someone comes and asks for healing. What does he do with it? Does he put him outside? Does he not deal with it? But I think this lets us know Jesus has a mission, but he even gets interruptions. What's your mission? As a Christian, our mission is to give glory to God. As a Christian, our mission is to make His name known. That's our mission. And there are things in our lives that can keep us from doing that. Now, you can give me every excuse in the book, and I know them. Experience them. But listen, when we stand before the Lord, excuses won't count. Faithfulness is what's going to count. Servanthood is what's going to count. And I understand sometimes we have to maybe back up and say, what do we need to do with schedules and life? And let's see what Jesus does here. Now, let's look at this text. I want to just give you two main truths this morning. Very clearly, the very thing I want you to see is Jesus came to preach, so he prayed. I want you to understand why I'm saying this. Jesus came to preach, so he prayed. Now, in this passage of Scripture, it's very clear that Jesus is letting them people know why he's here. Now, let's think about what happened last week when we were studying the text together. If you remember back in verse 32 through verse 34, remember Jesus has healed Peter's mother-in-law. And after Jesus has healed Peter's mother-in-law, it says at sundown, look at verse 32, at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. Why sundown? Because if you remember, it was on the Sabbath when that took place. And the Jews knew they weren't supposed to be doing lots of work on Sabbath, so as soon as the sun goes down on that Saturday night, which is now the Sabbath is over, they can move around. And so Jesus is at the house, and Jesus doesn't get rest. You want a guy who's on call 24/7, look at Jesus' life. Because many times in the Gospel of Mark, every time he goes to his house, someone's showing up. So you think you get interrupted. This guy hardly gets to go home and gets to rest. Wherever he's going, people are coming. So they're inundating his life here. He's at the house there, and people are bringing crowds of people. So what does Jesus do in verse 35? He rises early in the morning while it was still dark. Now, I've heard lots of sermons, lots of teaching that we should follow Jesus' life to get up early and have a quiet time with God. Listen, Jesus was just being practical here. He had to get away so people wouldn't bother him. Now, for you, that might be early morning. That's me. I'm an early morning person. I have to get up early because if I don't get up early, the pitter-patter of little feet's coming down the hallway. Daddy, daddy, daddy. Now, for you, it may be something different. For you, it might be late at night. But listen, Jesus is practically having to get away early in the morning while it's dark, because if someone sees him, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be bringing someone else who's what? Sick and need healing. So he has to get away, and he gets away for one thing. What does he do? He went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Now, the question I'm asking here is, why is it that he is getting away to pray? Now, obviously, he's communing with the Lord. We know according to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 5, that this was a common practice for him, that he steals away to pray. But I think it's interesting that when we look at the Gospels, when we actually see the times where Jesus gets away to pray, there's a crisis that's taking place when the Scripture records that he's getting away to pray. And each instance that we see that he's stealing away to pray is when his mission is at stake. Let me show it to you. Look at John chapter 6, verse 15. This actually is recorded in Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at John chapter 6. This is after Jesus feeds the 5,000. Now, we say 5,000, but we know there's actually more than 5,000 there, correct? Because there's men, and there's women, and there's children that's also there. So there can easily be 15,000 at least that's there that Jesus has fed. And I want you to see something that happens here. After Jesus feeds the 5,000, I want you to see what the people want to do with Jesus. Verse 15. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him what? King. Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Why is he going to the mountain? Because according to Mark chapter 6, he's going away to pray. What's at stake here? Jesus didn't come to be a king on this earth. So he steals away to pray in this instant because he's not wanting to be king. But guess what? He's in the flesh. Do you not think that it could appeal to him and that alluringness that people are wanting to make him king? Certainly he could be tempted by that, because are you not tempted with people wanting to make you something greater than what you are? Hebrews says he's tempted in every way that we are, yet he was without sin. What's the other instance that we see where Jesus prays? Let me show it to you. Look back at Mark chapter 14. Again, the mission that is here clearly that's at stake, what he's come for. Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through verse 41. Guess what Jesus is doing here? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And guess what he's praying? Not for his will, but whose will? God's will. Look at the text again, verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and he prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." In each instance that we have a recording of Jesus stealing away, it was so that he could focus on the mission that was at hand and not be distracted from all else that was going on. Going back to Mark chapter 1, guess what is possibly going on? People are coming to him and they're loving that he's a healer. Do you think that he's stealing away for a purpose to be focused upon his mission? I believe so. He came to do one thing. And so when the disciples come, they're looking for him. What does Jesus say in verse 38? "Let us go on." Isn't this interesting? I mean, people still have needs. Are you with me? I mean, he's been in Capernaum, and people were bringing sick people, and I guess it just got too late, and so they had to go to bed, and so Jesus has to get up early, and people are wanting to come back again, because this is what Simon does. Verse 36, what does Simon do? Simon starts looking for him. Now, we don't know how long Jesus has been by himself, but we know he's been alone by himself for a little while, because it's dark, and now the sun's coming up, and so Simon says, "Where is Jesus?" Can you just imagine? Because Peter is the one that has the loud mouth, right? So he's going to be the one that's going to speak. And actually, the Greek word that's here for search, your Bible says search. The Greek word is actually a little bit different here. It's not just search. It means he's tracking him down or hunting for him with a hostile sense. So Peter is bothered that Jesus isn't back in town healing people. Do you think Peter has an understanding of Jesus' mission? Peter's saying, "Jesus, they're all looking for you." So he's thinking probably that it would be good that Jesus knows that they're looking for him so he could come back. So Peter's missing the point. Now, if we're in Peter's shoes, we would think, hey, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to be excited. There's people there wanting to be healed again because he's healed a lot of people. He's healed people. He's cast out demons out of people. But Jesus' response seems to be a little insensitive, doesn't it? Look at it again. Verse 38. "Let us go on to the next towns that I may," say it with me, "preach there also. For that is why I came out." Folks, that's why Jesus came to preach. So he prayed. So that he had to pray to be in commune with God again to make certain that he's focusing upon the mission at hand. Not just coming to heal. He came to preach because there's always going to be needs to be met. There's always someone to heal. There's always going to be a demon to cast out. But Jesus says, "I'm here to preach." What was his message back at chapter 1, verse 15? "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Listen, he could heal people all day long. But he was here not just to be a healer. Do you realize that the whole declaration by the angels when Jesus was going to be born said nothing about His healing? Look at me again. Look at Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, it makes it very clear when Jesus is going to be born. His name in itself tells us why He's here. His name in itself declares His mission. And this reminds us again what we're supposed to be. And someone gets upset and says, why didn't Jesus heal me? Can Jesus heal, church? Jesus can. But that wasn't His primary purpose. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for He will heal His people from their sicknesses. He will save His people from their sins. A healing is a byproduct blessing of His power and His ability. Now, I'm not wanting to diminish your belief in God's ability to heal, because we pray for people to be healed. But what I want us to understand is that's not just why He came. If that was the case, Jesus could just set up camp in one town and He could stay there His whole entire ministry. He could be in Jesus the healer's office. Just come see Him. But what does Jesus say? I want you to think about this. I just did a little research about what Jesus says here. He says in verse 38 that He's got to go preach. And verse 39, look it back at Mark chapter 1. Notice where Jesus says that, or Mark tells us where He's going. And He went throughout all of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now, understand something. The nation of Israel by this time is kind of broken down in kind of three main categories. You have Judea in the south, then you have Samaria in the middle, and you have Galilee. And Galilee is one of the most populated areas about this time. And according to Josephus, a Jewish historian, there are at least 240 towns and villages just in Galilee. And Jesus says, I've got to go because we've got to preach. He's only been in Capernaum, and He's been down by the Jordan when He got baptized. This is the only couple of places He's been. Now, according to John, He's been in Jerusalem, and He made His way back up. But listen, I want you to understand something. Think about this with me. Jesus is on the earth for 3 years. If Jesus had just gone to one town a week, He wouldn't even have made it to all of Galilee. So if He stays back in Capernaum just for a couple of weeks, He's missing opportunities to preach the gospel. Hear this. Jesus charged the apostles that they had the power to go preach the gospel and heal the sick. But folks, I want you to understand something. We can get so sidetracked about other things of Jesus that we're missing the point of why He came. We can get so sidetracked of wanting to bring peace to people's lives of the chaos, but we're missing the heart issue, and that is the soul issue. Jesus was focused upon this mission of what He was called and what He was supposed to do. But do you notice what Jesus does in verse 39? We just read it. Even Jesus is saying, I'm going to go, I'm going to preach. But notice what He has to do in verse 39. Notice what happens as He's preaching. He goes in the synagogues, which was His mission. Remember what I said to you last week? The synagogues would welcome guest teachers. And so they would welcome Jesus to come in to teach. Of course, Jesus is coming in, and what is He going to do? He's going to take the Old Testament and show them that He's the fulfillment of the prophecies and He's the Messiah. Remember, that was the whole point of Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when He says, the time is at hand. The kingdom has come, repent and believe, because He's pointing to Himself. So every synagogue, they have this open door. He gets to go in and teach, and this is why He's coming. But when He does so, guess what He also encounters? Demons. Now listen, Jesus was not on a demon mission, but He was on a mission to preach the gospel. But when you preach the gospel, the demons come to surface. Are you with me, church? The light exposes the darkness. God has not called you to be a ghostbuster. He's called you to be a gospel proclaimer. And as we proclaim the gospel and truth is proclaimed, you're going to confront things like this. Does that mean that Jesus just simply skipped over the demon? Guess what this means? If He's in the synagogue, it means that a lot of those synagogues have demon-possessed people, just like it was in verse 21 through verse 28. Jesus was cleaning house. We see this later when Jesus goes in, and even at the temple when they're making it a place of selling things, he says, look, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer. You made it a house of demons. Now listen, Jesus is on the mission of what he's supposed to do. Let me ask you a couple questions about this. You look at Jesus' life and you think about yourself. Jesus could have stayed at Capernaum. And I want you to think about this with me. Jesus was moving away from Capernaum to go to other people. Is Jesus insensitive? Is he non-compassionate? Is he uncaring? No. For if the gospel has been proclaimed in one city and one person believes, then they are a bearer of that good news. He must move on. So you look at your own life and you say, okay, God has placed you here, and so we should be the bearer of that great news. Whether it's in Chalmette, or whether it's in Lacombe, or whether it's in Abita Springs where you are, wherever it is, God has called us to be on mission. And not forget that, but we must also learn from Christ. I mean, if you this morning are here and you feel like you've lost the zeal, lost the burden to be focused of what God has called you to do, then do what Jesus did. Get on your knees and commune with God and let the heart be rekindled for the Lord. Let the communion with God revive you, rejuvenate you, refresh you, because if our Lord needed focus, then how much more do we? So I just ask you the question, if you're here this morning, even this moment as I preach this, and you feel like you've lost focus and zeal, then start on your knees. And ask God to give it to you again. Ask God to refresh it again. Listen, even the psalmist prayed in Psalm 51, restore to me the what? The joy of my salvation. Folks, says we need to understand that there is something supernatural that happens when we bow before God. And we ask Him, we are His child, and He's given us the Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to refresh us, and so we need to bow before Him. You can't keep the zeal on your own. You need God. I need God. We need God. That's why we take time at least once a month to where our Wednesday nights are just prayer and fasting, because we want the power of God. We don't want intellect. We don't want knowledge. We don't want ability. We want God. And this is what Jesus is showing us. How focused are you? What's in your life that's busyness for you that's keeping you away from the mission? I don't know what it might be. It might be that your schedule's too crazy. It might be that you just put off what's supposed to be important and you've allowed other things to take the place of what's supposed to be first. And Jesus is just leftovers. That's not the way it's supposed to work here. Do you notice that I believe one of the reasons why I think Jesus is moving on is because people in Capernaum were not seeing Jesus as the Son of God and as the Savior. They were only seeing Jesus as someone that was meeting their need. What are you going to God for? Do you go to God only when you have a need? Is He simply just a need supplier when something is bad, then you call out to God? Jesus obviously isn't pleased when we just simply are calling out to Him just when we need something and we leave Him alone all the other time. Now this doesn't mean that we don't need to call out to God. But if He's just someone that is like a cookie jar for you that you go just to get a treat, then He's not pleased with that. Why? Because He moved on to other people. Why? We can read the other Gospel. You can read the Gospel of John. You can see that the issue in the Gospel of John, as we see it's here, that there were people who came to Jesus, but they didn't even have sincere faith, so Jesus didn't entrust Himself to them, as the Gospel of John says. This means we need to check our heart of why we're going to Christ. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to get on our knees and petition God for our needs. If we are His child, He wants to hear from us. But if our only time to go to God is just because I need to get something or I want something, that's not pleasing to our Lord. Jesus is longing for people to come to Him as a Savior, as a Redeemer. That's what He is. That's what He is. Now, as we look at this passage, also another application, I think about this, and you say, you know what? We don't necessarily, we're not healers, are we? Are you? If you are, come with me. I'm going to take you to the hospital, and I will introduce you to many people who need it. But you think about your place in the kingdom, you say, man, I can't do great things for the God. But listen to me. Jesus' mission, certainly He had the ability to heal, and He did so. But what I want you to understand is that his purpose was to preach the good news. And so if you want value in the kingdom, understand that you can do just as Jesus did and share the good news. That's your value in the kingdom. He redeemed you, so do that. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we think of it in the context. And Jesus is saying, look, this is why I'm here. And I want you to, now understanding this, think about how many times that we're going to see in the Gospel of Mark, how many times Jesus gets pulled away from doing this one thing. Over and over and over again. So even this morning, if you make the commitment, say, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to be focused. I'm going to make certain that I'm spending time with the Lord, and I'm going to do what He's called me to do, and I'm going to be on mission. I guarantee you, just as Justin Wilson used to say, that you're going to have a challenge. You're going to be tested by your focus and your zeal and your drive. Oh, no, not me, Pastor. Well, let me just give you a lesson from Peter. Because what did Peter say to the Lord? Oh, Lord, I would never, never deny you. What I'm saying is, just as we've learned, is Satan does not want us to accomplish the mission. So with your zeal, with your drive, how much more so would he want to come against you? Because if you are focusing on drive. So Jesus is here to preach the gospel. That's what we're here for as a church. Do you realize that? You know, we could do a lot of good stuff. We could. There's a lot of great things that we can do. But as a staff, we always have to come back and say, does this help us accomplish the mission of the church? Does this help us share the gospel, the good news? Now, we can do a lot of good things. Listen, even this summer, when we do the back-to-school supplies, we could do all that stuff and be a great social outlet. But if those things are not coupled with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have missed what Jesus has called us to do. And so even as a church, when you do, and as an individual, you can do a lot of great things. And someone can think you're just a wonderful, generous person, but what's the purpose of your generosity? It should be a means to share the good news. I think it's interesting in this passage of Scripture that after Jesus has made it very clear why he came to preach, that he's now interrupted with a leper to be healed. Now, he's just left a town. And now, we see that someone else is about to ask him, heal me, Jesus. Now, I would think if I was in his shoes, I would say, to teach a lesson to the disciples, we're going to skip over this one and we're going to go preach the gospel. Now, according to Mark's recording here, it seems like it happened right after it. But look again at verse 39. Let's make sure we understand what's happening here. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now, apparently, Jesus has gone preaching, but in that process, we see that a man who has leprosy comes to Jesus. And I think that the point here for Mark is to show us that even though Jesus came with an on-task mission and an on-task focus, that our Lord and our Savior will not be insensitive or non-compassionate to people in need. And I want you to get this. You can be so laser task focused on the mission and you can miss an opportunity that God may put right in your lap. Because you can say, it doesn't fit my agenda. We've had a lot of our agendas messed up, right? So look at Jesus. Notice what he does. Let's look at the text again in verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. I want you to understand how desperate this leper is. He has gone against all regulations and ceremonial law that has been set in the Old Testament. He's breaking the law here. Because a leper is not supposed to be in public at all. At all. According to the Old Testament, he's supposed to be outside the camp. Now, literally, in the Old Testament, they had camps that they would set up. So now he's supposed to be outside the city. Jesus is in the towns, he's in the villages, and he's going to preach. And this guy who's sick, who has leprosy, now, according to Old Testament, leprosy could have been what we know as the skin disease. It also could have been psoriasis, could have been eczema, could have been all these different things. But we also know, according to Luke chapter 5, Luke says this guy was full of leprosy. Which means he didn't have a little bit. He's covered from head to toe. You ever been so sick that you just wanted mercy? You've been so sick you could say, Lord, if you take me home, I'll be all right? Or you're just so sick you said, if I could just be in a coma, I'd be fine? This guy's miserable. Listen to what Leviticus says of what he's supposed to do. Leviticus 13, verse 45 through 46. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out like this, "Unclean! Unclean!" He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Jesus is inside the town. And this leprous man is supposed to be outside the town. He's desperate. He's imploring, according to Mark. He's literally here in the translation. He's begging God. He's begging the Lord, "I need you to heal me." But he says, "If you will do it." He's not doubting his ability. He's asking if it's just his willingness to do so. Can you think about how miserable that would be for us? I mean, if you have a sickness that all you'd have to do as soon as someone comes to you, even if they approach you, not even you approaching them, that you have to be the one that says, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean." I want you to understand what Jesus does, though. Notice Jesus' response. Look at it again there in the text. Verse 41, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and what? What did he do? He's breaking the law himself. Hello, church. Do you know why? Do you remember back in Mark 1, verse 21, we talked about the authority that Jesus has, that he has the authority over the scribes, and the people were amazed at his teaching because it taught with authority. Why? Because he's not referring to some rabbi. He's pointing to himself. So guess who's the one who gives the law? It was Christ himself. So guess what Jesus is saying? I'm above this law that says no one can touch him, because the law says if you touch a leper, guess what? They become unclean. Instead of Jesus becoming unclean, the man becomes clean. Because Jesus has the authority. For you see, the disciples are the ones who are learning. They're following him. And Jesus says, "We've come to preach." But guess what this is going to do for this man? He's not denying that he has the power. He's trusting and he's asking if it would be God's will to do it. He doesn't demand it from God. He asks it. And Jesus touches him. What's the point? Jesus is making very clear back in verse 38 that he's on mission. He's here to preach the good news, but he's going to be a gracious and a compassionate God to heal those who have a genuine need, who come with sincerity asking for healing. Notice what Jesus says, though. Jesus doesn't tell him to ignore all the other things about the law. Now, he's healed. He could just walk away, but guess what he tells him to do? Look at it again. He makes sure that he's supposed to be going and doing some other things. Look in verse 42. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Now, can you imagine that? Luke's gospel says he's covered from head to toe and immediately he's clean. How good would that be? Skin hanging off of you, now perfectly clean. Awesome. Awesome power of our Lord to do what he wants to do, if he wills to do it. I want you to understand something. You can't demand God to do anything for you. If you demand it, that means you're God and he's just your servant. But we bow before him asking God to do it if he wills. I've heard people say it's lacking of faith if you ask God if it's his will. We see right here this man is saying, "If it's your will." We see Jesus teaching us how to pray, "If it's the Lord's will." Matthew 6. So we see that he's saying this, but notice what Jesus tells him to do in verse 44. "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer yourself cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." Now, again, I want you to understand something. If this man is unclean, he's already gone to the priest, and the priest knows that he's unclean. Okay, according to Leviticus chapter 13, Leviticus chapter 14, if a person has leprosy and they're unclean, they've already gone to the priest, and the priest has gone to them, and they have all these different tests to find out if they're clean or not. It's actually quite involved and quite detailed. So the priest already knows that he's unclean. Technically, the priest is supposed to come back to him. Because why? He's not supposed to go inside the town. Imagine you're the priest, and you see this guy coming, and he looks a lot different than you saw him last time. Hello. skin's not hanging off, his clothes aren't torn, he's okay. Now I'd be asking, what happened to you? But Jesus doesn't say, skip all the things that you were supposed to do. Jesus says, do what Moses has commanded you to do. What did Moses command? Just take these down. Luke chapter 14, verse 2 through 32 gives a description of all that he's supposed to do. Why? Because he wants the priests to know that Jesus came to fulfill the law. He wants the priests to know that there's one greater than the law. I mean, he's supposed to go. He's supposed to take two birds. He's supposed to sacrifice one. He's supposed to take one bird. The priest is supposed to dip it in the blood and set it free. And then the leper is supposed to shave off all of his hair. And then he's supposed to come into the camp but live outside of his tent for 7 days. At the end of the 7 days, on the eighth day, then he's supposed to shave off all of his hair. His eyebrows, his hair, everything. His beard, he's supposed to be completely bald, completely skinless. And then he's supposed to wash his clothes. And then he has to go back to the priest. He's supposed to sacrifice another animal on his behalf. And so this is all to be done. And so he does all the, supposed to do all those things and go to the priest and say, and by the way, Jesus healed me. Why? Why would that be the point? Does Jesus not, what does Jesus say at the end here? What does Jesus say for him to do? Verse 44. Show yourself to the priest and offer for yourself what? Moses commanding for a what? Are y'all awake for what? A testimony or a proof to them. Now Jesus also told him to not go about telling anybody else. Right? Now, you know that's one of the worst things that we can do to people. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, I need to tell you a secret, but you don't need to tell anybody. That's the worst thing you can do. I think it'd actually be better to say, I want you to go tell everybody else what I want to tell you right now. Right? Then it's like, oh, what's the big deal? Now, we don't know if the guy actually makes it to the priest or not. We don't know. What we do know is the guy does the exact opposite of what Jesus said. Because what does he do? Verse 45. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town that was out in desolate places. Do you think his mission was thwarted? And people were coming to him from every quarter. Not going to stop his mission. Even though the leper has thwarted, if you will, for him going into the main towns. But guess what? His mission still stood. If we're Jesus was human like us, we'd say, great! Now what I'm here is ruined. You ever thought about that before? Oh, you just ruined everything I was trying to do. I was trying to do this and you ruined it in the name of Jesus. We have that attitude, don't we, sometimes? And our attitude is definitely not of Jesus in that moment. Here's Jesus. Certainly, it keeps him from the town, but guess what? God's sovereign over all that too. And so we think that he can't go in the towns, but people are coming to him. And so guess what he's going to do? I want you to understand something. It brings us right back to what we saw in verse 38. Jesus is making it very clear that this person who was healed did not keep him from his mission. It was part of his mission because he wants the priest to know that he's God. And Jesus, after this quote interruption, what does he do? He goes out to desolate places to do what? To preach the good news. Let me ask you just a couple questions as a point of application of this particular passage of Scripture. Now, this particular man, he didn't know. He's just a person in need. He's coming to Jesus. But have you ever felt like that you were bothering God with your needs? I mean, we just saw in verse 35 through verse 39 that Jesus moved on from other places, moved on from Capernaum because people had needs, but they weren't necessarily have a genuine heart. But do you feel like sometimes your need is too small or not good enough? Or do you feel like you're bothering him, just not going to go to him? I want to create a healthy balance for you. Certainly Jesus is came to seek and to save the lost. But if you are his child, he cares about your needs. Why? Because he's your father and you are his child. So although we're seeing that Jesus came to for one purpose, but I want you to understand something. God cares about whatever it is that you have. So if you feel like that, you know, that as you may say, you feel like you're dialing up Jesus, Jesus, it's me again. And here's this need again. The question to ask is your motive behind the asking. Asking Him and care, that He cares for you. Even though that we understand Jesus' mission, God cares for you. I may also say this to you. Just as Jesus was focused on the mission, He did not stop being compassionate to people who were in need. You have people in your life, family, friends, co-workers that you may have just stopped dealing with them or overlooking them. And maybe you're lacking the compassion that you need to have because you feel like it's an interruption to your life. It's an interruption to what you're supposed to be doing. Could it very well be that God wants to use that interruption to prove the glory of Christ in that person's life through your compassionate behavior to them? Could very well be. What if Jesus would have overlooked you? He was compassionate and gracious to you. Listen to James chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. It says this. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself is dead. It does not have works and is dead. We can be so focused on the mission that we can miss the people God wants us to minister to. And Jesus here in this particular passage of Scripture that we're looking at, certainly He had a task of what He was supposed to do. And you and I have a task and you and I have a mission. But listen, we also need to be sensitive to the people that God may put in our paths. It takes discernment, does it not? Because God may put people in your path that may just be needy, and there's a difference between someone who has a genuine need and someone who just wants to drain you and become dependent. Can I get a witness in the room? But we have to be sensitive to that and discern what is true and what is right. You know, as I look at this just as a pastor, and I'm constantly having things that, quote, are interruptions, if you will. Most important thing for me to do is to be able to study and feed you. And there are some things that I just have to say no to so I can study to feed you. I can't just feed you scraps. So think about this. For those, I'm going to give you a challenge. For those of you who are Bible study teachers, Jesus has called us to preach the Word and to teach the Word. What is it in your life that maybe you're allowing to clutter out your time of studying to feed your small groups? Take the time. You have to schedule that time. Fathers, being Father's Day. God's called you and me to lead our families, and how difficult it is sometimes after a long day of work and you're tired and you're exhausted. You'd like to just take a shower, sit down in your recliner, watch TV, and just go to bed. But God has called us, if we look at Jesus' mission, for a mission of making disciples, and how much and more so making disciples out of our own family. What's causing us to be too busy? As a church, we collectively have a mission of reaching people for the gospel. And maybe you found yourself too busy to participate as a church, as doing things together. May we realize that this is what God has called us to do. Nothing else matters. I pray that as we see Jesus' life and His ministry and His calling, He was focused. But He also had challenges that came against Him. And He had to spend time with the Lord. And it might just be that you need to do that. As a father, as a mother, as a grandmother, as an individual, as a widow. Our mission isn't over until you have your last breath. And then God calls you home. Until then, may you have arthritis and bursitis for Jesus until you're in the grave. Don't waste your life. Live it to the fullest. My joke is, I probably won't retire. You will have to roll me out of here. I want to live every moment I can for the glory of the gospel. But I'll be honest with you, there are times that I get distracted with busy things. But I can tell you, when I stop and I commune with the Lord, my heart is refreshed and revived and rejuvenated. There's been times where I've lost that, quote, fire and that passion. And I can just look at my life. I'll just do an evaluation. I can look back and I can see where I've allowed my life to lack quality time with the Lord. And it's always a direct relation of that lack of zeal. I can't tell you it's a 30 minutes or a 40 minutes a day, but it's just quality time with the Lord. Make the time, morning or night, or rise early like Jesus when it's dark, and spend time with the Lord for the purpose of the mission that He's called us to do. There's always going to be interruptions. But Jesus does these things. What's the purpose of Mark's gospel? To show that Jesus is the Son of God. And so even leprosy, that would cause people to be banned from a town, banned from a city, Jesus shows He's God even over that. He's God. So maybe this morning you have something that feels like it's so difficult and God doesn't care. Listen, if Jesus can do this, listen, do you realize that Jesus could have just spoken the word and He could have been healed? But I think this shows us the compassionate, caring Savior that we have. That it says He had pity and He reached and He touched him. How much do we want to just kind of get through someone with it? There's a difference. You can help someone in need and just get through the task, or you can have compassion with it and help that person. May God make us like that. To be a people and to be a church that genuinely care. We, as a church, have a compassion center. How fitting this sermon is. Giving clothes and giving food and helping with benevolent issues. And listen, we can do those things and we can do it from a task-oriented stake and miss the whole point. That's what James is all about. Making certain that when we give that clothes and give that food, that there's prayer behind that for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you focused, church? Are you distracted? I don't know where you are, but I guarantee you we've all struggled with these issues before. And Jesus is our example to follow. And you may be here this morning and you may have never trusted Christ as your Savior. I want to say to you that Jesus is a compassionate God. And you may feel like your issues are too far great. It's not too great for this Lord that we serve. You come to Him as you are. Listen, Jesus has cleaned up people far greater than a physical outward issue. He's healed dark, sinful people. And He's made us His clean, washed child by the power of the gospel. I don't know what you need is. But I just want to tell you, Jesus is the God you can come to and have your needs met. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word this morning. Thank You for the challenge that we as believers need to be reminded that You as our Savior and Lord even had the challenges of Your mission and people coming up against that and seeming to be interruptions. And we as believers, how much we also identify that. Longing, wanting to so much be focused upon what You've called us to do as believers and as a church, but knowing that there are things that can hinder us and that we struggle with. But God, just as Your Son Jesus, we see, spent time with You to commune with You so that we can see that He needed that to be focused again. Lord, I pray for believers right now in this room, maybe have come in this room even today, just busy, worn out, and tired. Lacking zeal, lacking purpose, lacking mission. Lord, I would ask today that You would refresh them. You would renew them. You would rejuvenate them. Helping them to be remembered and reminded that they have purpose in this kingdom. Father, I pray for believers in this room who may have felt like that they've been bothering You with their needs. Lord, I want to thank You and praise You that You are a gracious, compassionate God. But Lord, I pray if there's someone in this room who have been holding in a need because they feel like that it's too small for You or maybe too great for You, maybe today, Lord, be a time that they can realize that You are a God that can welcome that, meet that need, care for that need, bring freedom to someone today in that. Lord, I pray also if there's some in this room who may be lost and have thought that they were just too far gone from You reaching them. May they realize that You, God, can reach them, save them, make them whole, make them clean. Lord, would You make us a church that's caring, that is compassionate, and that in doing so, we would see people come to the kingdom. Lord, in our own actions towards people, there may be a need for forgiveness that may need to be asked, because maybe we've not been compassionate to people. Maybe we've been cold to people. Maybe we've been harsh to people because we felt like they were bothering us. Lord, if that's the case, and I pray that You would help us to be humble and gracious, and in that, Lord, may we demonstrate Christ-likeness, and in that very act, that would turn people to You. Lord, I don't know the needs of Your people this morning, but You do. And I pray that You would just meet the needs of Your people this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand and as we sing, opportunity to respond. God's placed something on your heart that you need prayer for. You come, and we'll pray for you.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.